Ellen, I have to make a confession.
Can't wait.
After I finished noting this afternoon, I was like, you know, I've got time and I don't want to have to deal with anything else. So I'm just going to note into the next episode so I can like get ahead. And I had to stop because it's bad. I'm so sorry. I have a video of me reacting to something. I'm going to post it without the sound because I was like this.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
Yeah.
Okay, so much to unpack in that little statement. Number one, we made a promise that we would never go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
So, do we need therapy?
You know what? We did a lot of promises. I didn't have therapy this week, so that's probably what it is.
You said you were healed. You said you were cured. You said, I don't have therapy this year because turns out I'm fine.
I'm fixed.
You're fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I'm great.
I auditioned for a pilot today in which one of the character description was lovable bully and, what is it? Something misogynist.
Delightful misogynist or something?
No, it was like...
What was it? It was you
like
sent it to me.
Not inappropriate.
Inappropriate misogynist. A lovable bully, a totally inappropriate misogynist. Are there appropriate misogynists?
I sent that screenshot to my manager and I just said, I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm. Did you book it?
No, I don't think I did a very good tape. I give really good tape usually. I'm very good.
It's weird that you say that your tapes are good because when I have asked you to read on my tapes, mm-hmm. you are the opposite of good.
Well, I do that so I can sabotage your auditions.
That's what I thought. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Your hosts are two has-been actors
catty
who
bitches.
Are exhausted. Tell them your name.
My name is Daisy Egan, and across the screen from me is the lovely, talented, smart, funny, incredible titted Ellen Marsh. So great.
They do look good.
They do.
You know what? I have to tell you something.
Please.
So Skims is a sponsor.
Yeah. I said, yes, I'll do Skims. They never replied.
So I have learned the Kardashians are not really involved with the label,
sure.
but that's what made me turn them down the first time because I was like, I can't really get on board with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, they're actually not. They just like slapped their name on it. This shirt is Skims. Like the bra is Skims. I am such a sellout.
They probably looked at my pictures and they were like, her titties is way too small.
Yeah. It was probably a titty thing.
Yeah.
They couldn't see my ass or they would have been like, that is a disappointing ass.
See, if they'd seen my ass, they would have been like, absolutely.
We are the perfect combination of T and A.
We really are.
We really are.
Together, we make one acceptable person.
Neurotic.
Somebody on the GBC chat today said, I guess she was listening to an old episode where I was talking about my ADHD diagnosis and that mm-hmm. they said I had mild ADHD. And the woman was like, my love, there's no such thing as mild ADHD, at which there is. There's a spectrum of ADHD.
It's not mild. It's just different symptoms appear differently in different people.
But I said to Amber and Amanda, if she wants to argue that Ellen and I have the same degree of ADHD, she can try to make that argument, but she's going to lose.
Why? What? Why? I don't understand your argument. I don't get it. What?
Just, you know, you tend to focus on a lot of things all at once. Maybe it is the same ADHD because I literally have to put my phone away while we record or I won't be able to focus. Whereas you seem to be able to be like, ping, pong, ping, 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 like that. That's my impression of you.
Well, first of all, it's not an attention deficit. It is actually a regulation problem.
Oh.
And it's a dysregulation in my brain, if you really want to talk about it. And do you know what I saw on a TikTok the other day, which I had no idea and I felt so called out. I don't like the windshield wipers to go.
Oh.
I just drive and then I click the windshield and I drive and I click the windshield.
That's weird.
Yeah. I only want them to wipe when it's necessary. I don't like them going like this.
But what if it's a big heavy rain shower?
Maybe. Yeah. But you know, we're in climate change. It doesn't happen a lot.
All it does is rain here.
Mary wrote in the chat.
Oh, no.
Is the mild ADHD in the recording with us?
Yes.
That got me. Okay, that got me.
All right, we're in episode 3. Come on, what are we fucking doing?
Come on, come on, let's go.
Come on, kids, focus.
Is Amber here? I feel like Amber is here. She watches our show to make sure that we're doing work.
Yeah, she's like, are you recording?
Yeah, but wait, one ADHD thing.
Great.
But this is actually specific to Grab Bag. I listened to Mel's first 4 episodes.
Yes, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. We warned her, especially given the blowback that you guys got from the Scott Peterson thing. We were like, just be prepared. Some people are going to be pissed.
But she's not making a claim for her innocence.
That's true. The earlier versions were a little more weighted.
I did like that old introduction of the red herring telling the story and then not telling what it was. I did like that intro a lot, but I like where she's going with it. The levels were off in episode one. I told her about it. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm great.
Yeah, you're great.
I'm great.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
All right, we're at episode three of Love is Blind UK. It's called He's Here for Fame. And we pick back up with B'Nai Twain, which, by the way, we got a DM from a listener who said, if you're not calling him B'Nai Twain, I don't know what you're doing with your lives. He says Sam is saying a lot that makes sense. It seems that he's just not here for genuine reasons. He's questioning his motives and integrity, and he believes he's just here for fame. And Nicole is so confused.
First of all, congratulations. Yes, her name is Nicole, and it isn't Nancy.
I did it.
I actually understand that she is confused, because how does she know that benzoyl peroxide is telling the truth? She doesn't at the end of the day. Like, she has only met Sam's representative.
Yeah.
We've seen Sam with all of the other women and all of his goings on.
Mm-hmm.
So Benihana feels like a dick.
Yeah. And she's crying. He feels like a horrible asshole.
He wasn't an asshole.
No.
In fact, I might say something that you don't agree with. Beignet could have been even more specific.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have been like, I understand that we're kind of fighting for your heart here, but he said some really distasteful things. Like, I feel like he was so vague that it actually made it all that more confusing. Am I a dick for thinking that?
No, absolutely not. I think it would have probably been helpful if he had been like, here's some shit he said. But I think it was hard enough for him as it was to say what he said. He's like, whichever way you go, you know, go with your heart, go with where you can genuinely see your future. And I just wrote, just a reminder, she doesn't have to pick anyone. She could just be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm out. Yeah. This is too much.
Yeah. I don't want to be here anymore. What was the girl's name with Uche that left? The black girl who left?
Yeah, it was so long ago.
Remember? I know. So many people.
Yeah.
People come and go so quickly.
Aaliyah. Oh, yeah. Age ain't nothing but a number. Aaliyah.
Great.
In the male quarters, Sam is complaining that the experiment isn't designed to be easy. Duh. And Steven's like, what's up? What's up?
He's so cute.
Sam says his head is scrambled. He said there's a possibility, boys, that if this date with Nicole and Benihana goes really well, it's done. Unfortunately, nobody cares. Nobody cares, Sam. Nobody cares.
Sing it with me, pianissimo.
Nobody cares. Ooh, that was in two very different keys.
Well, then Benchwarmer comes back in and Sam is like, how was the date? And he was like, good. He was like, yeah. He's like, good.
Go,
yeah.
Cool, cool.
Good?
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, no, good. Cool.
Good.
Cool, cool.
Good. Yeah, good. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good. Also, I just want to pick back up on something from last week because I don't want to get canceled. Just because Steven might be balding, which I have a picture of on top, doesn't mean he's not cute. I wasn't saying he wasn't cute. I was just saying he is actually going bald. He's very cute. And also, he's going bald.
You know what? I'm not here for the disclaimers. Let me read you a review we got.
Oh,
and now,
no.
I don't read reviews, but we have Misty456 that posts the reviews for us. It said, listen to this. I usually love the banter between the two hosts, but today, when Ellen called Cyndi Lauper a has-been pop star. Then more than 5 minutes later, Joey says Ellen is the nicest, sweetest person in the world. Calling an icon or anyone a has-been is pretty cruel. So I guess it's do as I say and not as I do, Ellen. I was like, you know, I've known this woman for 15 years. And also, and this is what I did on our Instagram. I just highlighted comedy and then I circled it. And then I did an arrow to it. And then I made sparklers around it. And then she was there. And then Michelle Obama was like, what?
Yeah.
Is nothing allowed to be funny anymore?
No.
It is quite literally a comedy podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself a cunt.
Yeah.
Every day of my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
And then right after I called her a has-been pop star, I was like, of course I'm kidding. She's the first female to ever win a Tony for best score.
Wow.
I am her champion. I am obsessed. I just saw her on Friday. I can't. She always asks about Lola. She's lovely. I was like, ma'am, get off my fucking dick.
Yeah, don't listen to the podcast then. Just don't listen if you're so offended. I'm so tired.
I can't. It's like upsetting me now. Like, we're not offensive. Stop.
I know.
Was that Cyndi Lauper?
It probably was.
How dare you?
Oh, God.
So Nicole is struggling down the hall with a bouquet in a vase that is about half her size.
Yeah.
Bobby asks Benihana if he got any clarity, and he says he doesn't know.
Nicole, the artist formerly known as Nancy, says she's perplexed and confused, which is the same word.
It is. They're synonyms. It's true.
She's very emotional.
Mm-hmm. Maria is processing with what I wrote was some gorgeous supermodel we've never met named Elle.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying she's taken aback by all of her feelings. She's a little bit scared, but she kind of likes the feeling. And they're like, yeah, we like the anxiety of it all. To each their own. I take a pill for that.
She said, it's nice being scared.
Yeah.
Is it?
Maybe on a roller coaster, but not with trying to decide who you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Yeah. My anxiety is exhausting.
Yeah.
Now we're back in the pods and we need a pod song. We're back in the pods.
We're back in the pods.
We like the pods.
We love the pods.
Who's in a pod? Yeah.
We're in the pods. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Tom asks Maria what their married life would look like together, and she says she doesn't mind traditional roles and values. She sort of wants to take on the wife role because that would make her happy and feel good. And Tom is like, I don't really want a stay-at-home mom.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So do you know this whole trad wife trend on TikTok?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Do you know what a trad wife is?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, it's like a traditional wife.
Oh, trad wife.
And there are these women who make everything from scratch. Uh-huh. They're like churning their own fucking butter.
Okay.
They're like pumping electricity through their breast milk.
Sure.
I don't know. There is this trad wife named Nara. I feel like it's Smith, but I could be making that up. She's like a model and she's married to a Mormon model named Lucky. They're worth like $20 bajillion. They got married in 2020. They have 3 kids.
Ouch.
And she's a trad wife, but her brand is she prepares these elaborate and like needlessly difficult meals for her husband and children. And then she's wearing these impractical gowns while she cooks. She made Fruit Loops from scratch.
No.
She's like, my husband wanted a Fanta, so I took some orange peels.
I'm already asleep.
It's like a 50s and 60s nuclear family aesthetic, only their kids' names, Daisy, this is real. They have 3 children. Their kids' names are Gravity Blue.
I'm finished.
Rumble Honey and Slim Easy. Gravity Blue, Rumble Honey, and Slim Easy, which sounds like energy drinks.
What is the matter with people?
And her only joy in life is making food from scratch.
Where do they get all their money?
I don't know, but they are literally worth like $20 million. He's a model, she's a model, but I think they have family money. I don't know.
Easy Slim or whatever the fuck. That sounds like a rapper from the 80s.
Yeah, they sound like rappers or like Gatorade flavors.
Yeah.
Hand me the Slim Easy. Yeah, the blue one. The blue flavor.
Hey, you got any Rumble Honey? I love that one.
I love the Rumble Honey.
Oh,
it's
that's my favorite.
It's limited edition, you know. Anyway, he does not want a trad wife. I'm sending you trad wife clips now.
Please. But Maria's like, she doesn't want to stop working. And she makes a good point. She's like, I'd like to spend the first couple years that my kids are around with my kids.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't make fun of the names. Come on, you guys.
Ashley doesn't want us making fun of names. She's going to write a review. Did I tell you we went rafting last summer, like on a tube, tubing? The water was pretty low, so you had to like walk through part of it. And there was a flotilla behind us of a family of about 15 people. And all the rafts were connected to each other with ropes. And they kept like going to the side into sort of the low hanging trees and getting very annoyed about it. And the kids were complaining about the trees. And the mother said, I'm writing a review.
Damn trees.
The water was too wet. The trees were being too tree-y. 1 star. If I could give it 0, I would. It was so naturey.
Dear God. Does God have a Yelp page? Pull up God's Yelp page. Let me look at it.
Listen, normally I really like your work, but this one stretch of river did not work for me and my 18 kids, all right?
I will say, good job on the sunset that night, though. Really good.
I'm writing a review.
I'm writing a review. Oh, gosh. Okay. Where are we? Are we still here? Maria and Tom are sitting there. Tom's very handsome. And Maria says, are you still considering anyone? And he takes a really long, pregnant pause. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we say that. Well, I don't know the history of it. Neither here nor there. And he's like, yeah, I still sort of like have someone I'm talking to. And it's Natasha. Again, I appreciate the honesty.
I appreciate the honesty.
This is what happens at night. Everything goes pear-shaped at night. What about those pears? Two stars. Too hot, not sweet enough.
I didn't like the pears.
Dear God.
So at one point,
Maria says he's her number one.
Yeah. And Maria's sort of going on and on about how deep their feelings are. And at one point I wrote, wait a minute, are they setting us up? I'm so suspicious now of Netflix. I'm like, they're just letting her fawn over him so that he can break up with her. But there will be a plot twist.
How deep is your love? Anyway, there's always a song.
Like, I need to be really honest with you. Like, I don't have like a number one.
And then I wrote, see, I fucking knew it, fucking Netflix.
You showed that streaming service who's boss.
I sure did. I gave them my $16 and then I was like, I'm writing a review.
Do you pay for Netflix?
Well, I get it through T-Mobile. I asked my parents the other day for their Max login.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't remember it. I was like, come on, guys.
Reset it, Georgia.
They can't. They're too old.
I still use my mom's Netflix. What am I in college? I don't give a shit. Guess what? My stepdad's login is still on there. Creepy. I still use my mother's Costco card, too.
That's a gyrable.
Listen, she's paying for it anyway.
So now we're in the male quarters. Tom is telling all the blokes about what just happened. Babe is telling him he needs to think about what he wants in a wife. Yes, that's what we're here for. Thank you. And now it's a new day. Ollie's doing cartwheels. Women are pretending to be in a reveal in the tunnel of love with each other. And now we're in the tunnel of love with Bobby and Jasmine.
Jasmine's dress looks like a Barbie doll dress. It actually looks like a real, real Barbie doll dress. I hate it.
I hate it too. I said it looks like something Miss Piggy would wear. It's pink with marabou feathers. It's not good.
And it's fine because Jasmine is like supermodel beautiful.
Yeah.
Love the color. Love the rose. It was so unflattered. I thought it was a joke.
It was ugly. It was very ugly.
It was really ugly.
Oh, and she is putting on a ton of lip gloss. I mean, just every shot of her in this antechamber is her putting on her lip gloss.
I was like, they're shiny.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
She's nervous. It's all the same stuff. I hope they think I'm attractive, blah, 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 blah. So I'm interested to get your opinion on this because the door is open. And as far as I thought, she did not look very happy.
Agree.
Okay.
He ran like a fucking track star.
Yes.
He was like Sha'Carri Richardson. He met her. He was like, you're stunning. Yeah. You're so stunning.
You're a stunner.
She's like, you're cute. You're so cute.
Yeah. She calls him babe. They kiss. She says she's still trying to get used to his face. He gets down on his knee. He says this is the best moment of his life ever in the universe. Never did he think he'd meet somebody so beautiful inside. Now, to me, she was giving a bit of Mallory with the like, oh, it's so
not
cute.
As bad.
No, not as bad.
Not as bad. But I definitely was like, does she think she's cute?
Yeah.
But then when she's in her confessional, she says she really likes
her.
Maybe she just didn't know what to expect. I don't know. But he was thrilled.
Yes, he was.
She is. She's very, very beautiful.
And he says, your lips are super soft. And she says, I put on a lot of lip gloss.
And we were like,
yes,
strong agree.
They tell each other they feel like home. There's a lot of kissing. It's a little confusing.
But actually, they don't kiss well together. And actually, it's her fault this time. Did you not notice that they would kiss and they would do little kisses, not like passionate kisses. I'm a kissologist.
Yes.
Okay, so they would do like little kisses.
Yeah.
And they go like one, two, and then he would pull back and she would go in. And he'd be like, oh, we're kissing.
Yeah.
Like, are you going up? Are you going down? Like it was mismanaged space.
It was.
And they did it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. And she's kind of going like, it was weird and awkward.
It wasn't like these were two bad kissers. You know, when you're little and you play the blind game in the store.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and they were like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It was very strange. And I was like, I think this time it's her.
Tanner says like mouth open baby kisses.
Like they were kissing little kisses, right?
Yeah.
They were going like, and then like, he was like, oh, we're done with the two. And she went in and he pulled back. And then he was like, oh, wait, you coming back?
Oh, God.
And she was like this. And they were going.
Who's the couple that did the headbutt? Was it in the first season? The headbutt kiss? Are you okay over there, Ellen? Are you stroking?
It was very strange. Whatever, he proposes, she accepts. Whatever.
In confessional, she says she's so happy and he's so hot, he calls her a supermodel.
But also, get it together. Rein it in.
Figure out the kissing. Figure it out.
Get it together. Okay.
Back in the men's quarters, the men are sort of filing in for the day, and I swear to God, Sam looks like he wants to murder someone. He, like, stalks in. He clocks the camera. He just looks angry. Fredde is telling somebody that he feels nervous all the time.
Fredde? Oh, God, he is perfect.
He's so fucking cute.
He is so cute. And he is so insecure.
I know. Every time anything good is said, he's like, really?
Really?
Do you mean it?
Oh, honestly?
Me? Have you seen me? I mean, I know you haven't seen me, but I look like a troll.
Really? Something that really got on my nerves circa 2016, whenever Hamilton was making it big, everything that happened, Lin-Manuel was like,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, you made a brilliant piece of art. Obama is in your phone.
Yeah.
You own it.
Yeah.
You know who also did that was Pasek and Paul when they did La La Land.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
were like, what?
Well, and it was also like Ben Platt when he won the Tony. Like, he didn't fucking know he was going to win. Come on now.
Yeah. Like, your dad engraved it already. Like, come on.
There's a thing about humility where it gets to a point where you're like, you're not, I can see through that now. Come on.
And you own it. Like, own that you fucking wrote Hamilton.
Yeah.
It was this faux modesty that. I was like, knock it off.
Yeah. I see you.
Yeah.
So Kat tells us that Fredde feels like home. He literally makes her feel like she can be herself. Fredde tells us that Catherine is his number one.
They have so much in common. It's crazy.
It's crazy. He says he's a spiritual person and he believes in energy.
And he's buzzing.
Energy that makes you tingle. Not in your pants, in your heart.
And then he asks, what you wearing?
I'm wearing my pajamas.
I'm wearing pajamas. You're wearing pajamas.
I can't believe it.
Don't tell me you're actually wearing pajamas.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I have to ask you something really important, okay?
Okay.
Do you breathe air? Don't even. Don't even. Oh, come on.
I do.
Get out of here.
I'll breathe it all the time.
What is... How can you... You're putting me on.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Just between you and me.
Yeah. Just nobody else is listening.
Is she okay?
No, she's not okay. Also, did you notice that his biceps are bigger than my fucking head?
He can get it.
Yes.
Any way he wants
any
it.
Any way he wants
any
it.
Any way. Anything he mm-hmm. wants to do yeah. at yeah. any time.
Yeah.
I will leave my family.
Yes.
I will walk off of any part. Literally.
I will give him a rim job in the middle of a restaurant. I DGAF.
Yeah. Listen, if this man wants, if he's like, you know what I want for dessert? To sit on my face. And I'm like, we're in church. I'd be like, that's fine.
Here we go. Sorry, Jesus.
Yeah. It's my grandmother's funeral. I'm like, great. Now is as good a time as any.
You can sit right on my face, sir.
Erica said he could raw dog me 100%. We can't record at night. Anyway, go on.
He says the feeling is like when they're waiting for a line at an amusement park and the anxiety that's leading up to it. But when you're on the ride, it's amazing. He says, you know, like when you're at Blackpool, but not the teacups.
All I heard was you want to fuck me on the teacups. That's all I heard.
Also, would you ever go to an amusement park called Blackpool?
Yes, if he wanted me to.
You pooped in the pool. He said he's boozing. He's been boozing since he met her. And he tells her from the beginning he's felt like this one's mint. And she says, I feel like I've hit the jackpot with him.
Oh, this isn't even the loud cry. And then he asks her a question. What does he ask her, Daisy?
Cat. Do you think love is blind?
Is love really blind? Really blind? Is love really blind? Really blind? Is it blind? Is it blind? Is it blind? No blind, no blind. Is it blind? Is it...
We are in so much trouble. You know what I think it is? I think it was the strike. I think the most recent strike. I think the musicians union negotiated to say, like, we don't give a fuck if it's unlicensed. We don't care. You're putting in the name of the song and the artist.
Right.
Yeah.
It just is always what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Like, he'll say a word.
Love is blind. Yeah. Love is blind. Love is so blind. Am I here? I'm mute.
Once I could see. Now I can't see. Not like Helen Keller, but kind of like that, because love is blind. I don't want to be offensive, but that's the title.
Am I being ableist?
We're fired. Okay.
So she's like, what are you trying to say? And he says, I think you know what I'm trying to say. And he says, I'm trying to sell. I love you. And she sort of puts her hands over her eyes and Netflix tells me she's sobbing. I'm like, she has sobbed. She's not sobbing in this moment.
There was a point after Billy Porter won the Tony that we wanted him just to call in rather than calling out because he was always out. It was like a shock when he called. We're like, why don't you just call in?
Wow.
Just tell us when she's not sobbing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not sobbing.
She is the Billy Porter of emotions at this point in terms of like his job responsibility. And like Kath is actually not sobbing. That would make a better caption for me.
It would. You can just assume at all times that she is. Then he says he loves her and she says the sweetest thing that you could possibly say after somebody tells you that they love you for the first time. She says, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so romantic. It's so romantic.
Fuck! What the fuck? Fuck! What the fuck?
Your commitment is great.
Listen.
She says she loves him too. And he goes, do you actually feel that way about me?
He's so insecure. You are so fucking hot. You look like you were chiseled out of stone.
Yeah.
Really?
Me?
You love me back?
Love me?
Maybe it's because he is such a hot piece of ass that like, that's what he's always led with. Like he hasn't said that, but like he is genuinely shocked that anyone is breathing air towards him.
I know.
Really?
And then later, in the male quarters, there's two men who are fucking swooning over him. Oh, they're like, oh, he's so cute. He's so hot. He's so handsome.
Like, Freddy.
Freddy.
Do you want me to go get for ya? I would.
I know we're here to find a wife, but I think I found my husband. So now we're with Demi. In confessional, Demi tells us that she feels like a little school kid about Ollie. She's like, maybe this is it. And she's walking down the hallway to the pods looking actually pretty bummed out.
It's nerves because she's bum bum nervous. Bum bum nerves. Bum bum.
I'm so nervous.
Bum bum. Nervous.
I'm so fucking scared.
Bum bum.
Is he gonna love me? I don't bum, feel bum. Prepared. I'm wearing my workout clothes.
And heaven knows I am nervous.
Wow.
And they're vibing. The vibes are vibing. The vibes, when they hit the vibes, they're on a vibing level.
They're so vibed.
But she says she hasn't felt it on an emotional level, just a vibing level.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, now I got a walk. She's walking around the pods.
Yeah, she's having a nervous walk around the pods. And she says that the connection is real, but it's scary because it's not like they're just going to be dating. And she says she really likes him and that he's not judgmental. And I swear to God, they cut to a shot of him kind of going, well.
I am a little bit of a fuckboy.
I am. She tells him that she wants to have a family and be a mom, but she has endometriosis and it's hard for her to naturally conceive. And she says that sometimes she doesn't feel like enough.
Yeah.
And in confessional, she tells us basically like, every month, mentally, physically, it's really, really hard and there can be fertility problems. And in the past, it has caused some problems in relationships.
I've had bad periods, but I've never had endometriosis. Yeah. I do have a friend who has it. It is wildly painful and it's painful in so many different ways. Like any month, it could just manifest itself. It is truly something that someone has to contend with. She doesn't know if she's going to have fertility issues, but it
might.
Is a thing. And I totally respect this conversation. She genuinely is very upset and she's being really vulnerable here and showing us that struggle, which we've talked about, which I love this season for talking about this in such a healthy way rather than being like, we're having babies. How many babies are we having? Being like, no, more people struggle than we really like to talk about. Mm-hmm.
And Ollie says, hearing you say you feel like you're not enough is weird because you've always been more than enough. And he says, I'm sorry that you've had to go through that, but it doesn't change the way he feels about their future. And it's actually made him think that she's amazing and that anything else that comes along is abundance, which is the first time in this whole series, and there's three episodes, that I was like, oh, Ollie.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some periods where I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital, where I thought I was having a miscarriage, like really, really, really awful. But I've never been diagnosed with it, so I don't think I have it. But yeah, your period on its own can be fucking hard AF. So
yeah,
they give each other an air hug in the pods, and she says she feels like a weight has been lifted and she was worried that she wouldn't feel safe, but she feels safe. Demi tells us that she's falling in love with Ollie, and Ollie tells the blokes in the pods that the pods may have found him as one.
It definitely could be the edit. Ollie is very sweet in that moment. I totally agree yes. with you. He's like, listen, it's you and me mm-hmm. and we'll see what happens. I believe him. I'm yeah. saying it's a solid answer, not like he's giving a line.
Yeah.
But that is the first mm-hmm. human emotion I have seen from him.
100%.
And he's not a dick.
He's just a fuck boy.
He's buffering into a human.
Yeah. He has not come potenched.
Yeah.
So in the female quarters, Nicole, the artist formerly known as Nancy, is processing with Jasmine. She says she's so confused. And Jasmine says it's her opinion, as someone who also had Sam as the top for a minute, that B'nai Twain will make her feel more emotionally fulfilled. And she reminds her that she and Benihana are very similar spiritually and that Sam lacks depth. But Nicole still doesn't know. And she's like, from day one, Sam has told me that I'm it. And Jasmine's like, yeah, bro. He told me the same thing.
Yeah, babes. He told me the same thing. And Nicole is gagged.
Yeah.
She's like, really?
And I wrote, thank God they're having this talk. She really fucking needs to hear this. She actually thought that Sam was fucking genuine. And Jasmine is like, look, who knows? Maybe he is telling the truth. You have two great guys. That's highly debatable. And you'll pick what's best for you.
I actually think Jasmine was very emotionally intelligent in this
Jasmine.
Moment.
Yeah.
She was very lovely. She was being a good friend. She was dead ass honest.
Yeah.
And then she was like, hey, listen, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
She wasn't being like, I mean, he said the same to me. She was like, babe, he said the same thing to me too. It was very genuine. It was very down bitch. And I was like, she's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was very cool. And I loved her being like, I could totally be wrong. But I would have thought a little bit less if she didn't say something and be like, listen, now here is the thing, because Nicole has now been warned by two people.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. Yeah.
It's going to get bad. So now Tom is on his way to the pods, telling us his triangle with Maria and Natasha has created a challenge. He's on a date with Natasha, and he tells us that he and Natasha clicked right away. He loves spending time with her. And he tells her that his thoughtful gesture is cooking for someone. And she's like, oh, I love carbonara. It's my favorite meal. And he's like, yeah, I love it. And she goes, with cheesy garlic bread and fries and mayo. And I went directly to sleep, and then I vomited all over my computer.
Yeah. What, from the bottom of my heart, the fuck?
Even just picturing what that meal looks like, I'm sick.
Yeah. I am boycotting eating until somebody puts the image of another dish into my head.
She said that meal, and my cholesterol spiked.
Yeah. I gained 4 pounds just from the computer.
Just from that. And Tom is also like, pardon me?
Yeah.
Fries?
What the flippin' heck?
What the flippin' heck?
Taylor said.
And he's like, I feel like my world has just imploded. And they're laughing. And he tells us she has the goofiest laugh he's ever heard. And it doesn't make him recoil in horror. How charitable. And he says that she has a good, pure heart. But and now they're on another date. So I guess that one was a flashback date. The UK editing is weird.
Yeah, they flashback. And it's very predictable because they're all in so many triangles that you know right after one, they're going to ping pong to their other triangle.
Yeah, but they actually don't triangle right to Maria. They go to another date with Natasha. She tells him that she can feel his heart beating through the wall. And he's like, yeah, I had a really good day yesterday, mostly because of you. I felt warm and reassured. And she's like, likewise. And he really looks like he's in pain. He's like rubbing his eyes and looking around and breathing out hard. He's like not fucking thrilled. And he says he's felt it from the first date. And then he tells us he never had the kind of connection he has with Natasha with anyone else.
He said that they'd be physically compatible. And I was like, I mean, I guess that's fine, but
how do you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he tells us that Maria sees him as a top connection and he's really very worried about this. He is taking this very, very seriously, as he should.
There's just something very disingenuous about Tom, and I can't quite put my finger on it. He's very handsome. He seems very sweet. Now, he's already told us that he's emotionally
unavailable
or he has been in the past. So I respect him acknowledging that. There's some kind of disconnect. Do you get that, or am I like putting that on because he's like a handsome man and I just like to judge people because I'm horrible and cruel and people should write 1-star reviews about me.
Well, that's how I felt about Johnny of Johnny and Amy. Mm-hmm. There was something that just wasn't sitting right with me. So I'm going to let you have it.
And he was just a nerd. Okay.
Yeah.
He told us he's emotionally unavailable. He's never been in it with someone.
Yeah. I think also he's just sort of, it sounds a little bit like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, but I think he's just trying to be pragmatic.
He was honest with Maria.
Yes.
And was like, I do have a, he definitely could have lied about that.
Absolutely.
You know, we've seen people do it before.
So he tells Maria that he had a dream that she was laying on top of him and he has an intuition that they're going to be physically compatible. And he says that with Maria, there's a sexual attraction and they talk about deep stuff. And he says he doesn't have that with Natasha and he wonders if his feelings for her are just friendship. Whew. Now it's the next morning and we're in the female quarters and Catherine is looking very nervous. She's like kind of shaking and, you know, bouncing, whatever. In the male quarters, Freda is also looking very nervous, sweating, like breathing. And this is when Jake and Tom are over on the couch like, well, good looking lad. Yeah. This is a good looking bloke.
And Freddie is ready to pop the question, but he's nervous. He's shaking.
He says he's shitting it.
Between his anxiety and insecurity and her crying and anxiety, they are an emotional wreck. And I am here for it.
Their kids are going to be little tiny balls of anxiety.
Yeah.
So everyone's giving him good vibes as he leaves to go propose. And in the pods, she clearly knows what's about to happen. He says all of the things, the connections, I'm for you, you're the person I'm meant to be with. And then he reads her a letter.
Can I read these words to you? It's been a crazy journey. From our first date in the pod, our connection's grown stronger and deeper with each day. I've never felt a connection like this with anyone. Your energy radiates through the wall. I dream that I'd find you, Kat. It's written in the stars. I look forward to the little things. The first time our eyes connect. First time we touch. The first time I kiss your lips. These are all the basics that I haven't even experienced with you yet. But I can confidently already say that I love you. Catherine.
Yeah.
My Jersey girl. I can't wait to make memories with you. Will you marry me?
I'm reading you a letter. I'm reading a letter to you. The letter has my feelings in it. We have a connection. I love that all of our songs are like horrible 70s lounge music.
I didn't hear a word of the letter, Daisy, because all I could focus on were his white jeans, which can only mean one thing. Uh-huh. He's going to get his period. Because if you're wearing white, you're going to get your period.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to
it. True.
You can't have nice things. All I could look at were those jeans. You could tell me that he read the Declaration of Independence and I wouldn't know. I was staring at his thighs.
Well, yeah.
Are Maddie and Poodle covering this? They're probably going way faster than us because we're moms and lazy and we have 27 podcasts.
Yeah, we're very lazy. So then he asks if she'll marry him and she says, yeah. And he says, will you actually?
How is he so humble and so hot?
I don't know.
Does he kill kittens?
Maybe.
There is something horribly wrong about this man that we have not found out about.
In confessional, she's like, you know, every little girl genuinely wants a mad fairy tale. Not true. She's someone's fiance. She feels complete. Oy, oy, oy.
Daisy.
Yeah.
You are burying the lead.
I am.
She
was
not crying, not sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
She was wailing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God. I am not exaggerating.
No. I know. I feel like I just rewatched it.
This is what I wrote. I wrote, she's sobbing. Is she okay? No, really. Is she okay? This is loud. Is she okay? Those were my notes. I think she's hurt physically.
Somebody fucking shanked her and we just didn't see it.
Chopped off her. I have never seen anything like that.
My glasses are fogging up.
Oh my, am I exaggerating?
No.
It was preposterous.
It was preposterous. And it's going to happen later in the tunnel of love, too. Oh my God. So everybody in the quarters is cheering for them. Nicole is still processing with Jasmine. She says she wants someone who can fight for each other every day. And Jasmine says something that I actually say to people who are struggling with a decision. She's like,
get up and fucking walk it off, you cunt. Yeah. That's what you said to me the other day.
Pull up your fucking labia.
Well, the other day you texted me. Hold on, let me read it. It says, hey, I know you're struggling. You know I love you, but suck it the fuck up because nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here you wrote, and when I say I love you, I'm just saying that to make you feel better because nobody cares.
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly what Jasmine said to Nicole.
Well, you were saying it's the advice. I have so much advice in my phone from you.
I know. I'm good at advice.
Yeah.
She says, you know what the right decision is in your head, in your bones. You do know what the right decision is. You just have to fucking say it.
Usually when I make a decision.
Yeah.
It's in my head, in my bones, and in this pussy.
You're going to make that decision in this pussy.
So now Beneficiary is going to see Nicole, and so is Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And Benedict Cumberbatch feels emotionally connected to Nicole. I haven't seen it. Because here's the thing. He is very sweet.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're on date three, like in IRL.
Yeah.
I always say in IRL, which is in real life.
Yeah,
I'm so stupid.
Yeah. Benjamin Platt really needs to fucking get on this train because we don't have a lot of time. Nicole says that Sam makes her feel reassured that there's a future. And I get that because Ben Folds 5 doesn't even have a place to live. So it does fucking make sense. And then Sam's like, I'm going to give it one hell of a go with Nicole. And he's not going to stop because he's not going to let another one slip by. I want to go home.
Mm-hmm. Well, because Sam from London and Ben Stiller both walk in to the pod and they're like,
hello?
Nicole?
Hello?
Hello? Nicole?
Nicole tells us that Benihana is adorable, which is never an adjective that you want to hear. And he's still over there going, hello? Hello? Hello?
At this point, if she chooses Sam, I will shave a man's chest and wear it as a wig until Christmas.
Okay. Can I get that in writing?
I can't with this woman.
So she's walking down the hall, heading to a pod. We don't know which one it is.
Mm-mm.
We cut to Sam, who I realize looks like a Who from Whoville.
Mm.
She says she needs to speak to her strongest connection. She walks into Sam's pod and she tells him she's a ball of nerves. He is getting ready to propose and she just wants more clarity. Like, she's like, I just need to get some questions answered, and he's going to propose.
Well, she walks in with Sam.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, to break up with him, right?
No.
Now, she is going in with the knowledge that Bend and Snap has given her, that Jasmine has given her. And like, let's not forget in episode one where she's like, are you having me on? I feel like you're just saying what I want to hear. Those are three people's opinions that she has in her toolbox of emotion.
Yes.
Let's see what she does with it.
So she says, I have a really big question for you. It's really important. She's fucking sobbing. Basically, she's like, listen, dude, I've done this before. I was married. So this really needs to be for real. She says she needs to know that he's basically here for the right reasons, love, the hope of marriage. And he's like, Yeah, trust me. There's no other fucking reason I'm here.
No, listen,
you have no idea. You just have to trust me, okay?
Trust me.
You're the most amazing person, and you deserve so much happiness. And I just want to like make you like happy or whatever. I have so much love to give, and like trust me, you deserve it, okay? I know deep down, I have butterflies from the second I heard you laugh, okay?
Butterflies. Love
trust
you.
Me.
Trust me.
Trust me.
Trust me. Yeah.
Trust
this
me.
This is great. Yeah. Love.
Trust
me. Nicole. Nancy.
Trust
Nancy. Me. That's not Nancy. Well, if someone feels the need to solicit your trust.
Trust me. Trust me. Trust me.
There is something deep in those hall of presidents that has led others to not trust that person. And like, also, this actually didn't dawn on me until today, but like, all of these dudes have really shocked me in the sense that they're like, I've been working on myself. I meditate. They're very very sensitive blokes, all of them.
Yes.
And he's the only one who worked on himself physically.
Yeah. I mean, Freda has clearly worked on himself physically.
But he's a munchie. Yeah. He had this pussy on a platter. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This pussy.
But like everyone else has been on a journey and he hasn't. Now he is begging her.
Yeah.
I came here for love.
He keeps saying you're an amazing person, but he never says why. She's just an amazing person.
It is just rapid fire. I wanted you. I love you. It doesn't matter. Or somebody else. Who cares? I wanted to be on TV, but I wanted to be on TV with you. You were the reason I wanted to be on TV. Or someone else. But you're here and that's great.
You're the one sitting here.
And trust me. And like it's going to be great because it's great and we're going to be famous. We have so many Instagram followers.
This is important. He does not say he loves her. She tells him she loves him, and his response is, no one has ever loved me. I need someone to love me more than anything. And she's like, even from the first day, you made me feel at ease. You're accepted. You're loved. He says, you know something so funny? This is what I'm going to do right now. I can't believe I'm doing this. I never thought I'd do this in my life.
I was like, don't.
And he does. He asks her to marry him, and she says, yes, 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 I will. I really will. I want to know the depths of you. And he says, yes, let's do it. Okay, cool, cool, cool. Promise me you'll kiss me every morning and every night. That's all I need. And I'll give you everything. And it's going to be a ride. And it's going to be great. Again, she says, I love you.
Yes, 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 I will. I really will. And you know what? I want to know the depths of you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Promise me you'll kiss me every morning and you'll kiss me every night. That's all I need.
Yes.
And I can assure you I'll give you everything, okay?
Yes. Okay. I trust you and honestly, I love you.
I think I love you too. I can't believe it.
I'm sorry. Jeff, can you play that again?
I think I love you too, Ollie.
Everything in her face changes.
She got it.
And she literally goes, oh.
The captions say O-H period.
Yep.
She.
I know. It's bad.
Like, it was like, you know those moments with ADHD brain where you say something and you're like, I see the words.
Yes.
I want to put them.
Yes.
Physically put them back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yum, yum. She knew in that instant. Just the deflate.
Ugh, it's bad. So he leaves the pods and she actually looks happy, sort of. And she's like, okay. Oh, shit. Oh, God. Okay.
She says, oh, shit, Daisy.
I know, but she's like.
She doesn't look happy.
There are moments in there where she's like smiling. And then in confessional, she says,
I'm still trying to keep very grounded.
Oh, my God.
But I am engaged. He said all the right things. I'm just going to have to trust that. It's a tough decision, but I'm just going with what I feel instinctively right now. And I know it's complex things, and I'm sorry.
And she is weeping for Jesus.
Well, okay. So in that clip, the part that I resonated with the most was I'm engaged. I feel like on the cutting room floor where she was like, I'm engaged.
Yep.
I'm engaged.
I'm engaged. I'm engaged.
I am engaged. I'm engaged.
Yeah.
That's what I saw in the movie in my mind.
Yeah.
Like Miss Saigon.
Yeah. She knows absolutely she made the wrong choice. Benihana is still sitting dejectedly in the other pot.
He's just like whipping up. He made the little volcano of onions.
Yeah.
You know what I think they do at Benihana. Have you ever seen the volcano of onions?
Yes.
And they make the smoke come out.
Sam announces to the men that he's engaged and he gets a very subdued reaction. Everyone's like, oh.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah. So now Nicole goes into the other pod. This is so awkward. And he has no idea, obviously, what just happened. So he's like, I was really concerned about you. She's like, yeah, it's been a lot. He's like, yesterday was heavy. And I just, again, I want you to know that it was out of love and I really care about you and you're a part of my heart. And in confessional, he says, Nicole is the one because of what she brings to the relationship. And she fills his heart with positivity and optimism for the future. And he's certain that he wants to spend the rest of his life with her. I hate this. So she's taking her time and she's sort of letting him talk, which I wish she would have cut him off sooner. But he's like, I came here with an intention. I want to make this commitment with you. I really wish she'd just said like, hey, before you continue, like, let's just
agree. Because he says this whole thing. She's like, yeah, about that.
Yeah. She says she's so blessed to have met him. Oh, and God. What you represent is everything that she wanted. But if she's being honest, Sam has her heart.
You know what? And I don't wish her ill will, but I'm like, girl, you did this to yourself. Yeah. Whatever happens from here on, I'm not going to feel bad for you. I mean, I will, yeah. But I'm not going to feel bad for you, yeah, because you had a fucking parade, yeah, of red flags. And you're like, ooh, but the fabric though.
I know.
It's so soft. It's durable. It doesn't pill.
It's microfiber.
Yeah.
Yeah. They give each other an all the best.
I thought he was so gracious, oh, yeah, because he said, I've learned so much from you. Yeah. I thought that was so... No goblets were thrown, Daisy.
Nope.
Not a single goblet did that man throw.
Because he is a grown-up human being.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the female quarter, she tells everyone she got engaged, and everyone's like, great, great. Wait, to who? She's like, Sam. And they're like, oh.
She walks in, she's like, I'm engaged. They're like, yay, to who?
Sam. Yay. Oh, that's great.
That's so good.
Do you want a bagel?
I'm starving. Do we have a bit? We have a bit of tea. Now, again, these reactions of the men tell me everything I need to know, mm-hmm, about Sam and, yeah, Ben-Hur.
He comes in and tells everybody what happened, and he gets a big group hug from everybody.
They care more about him getting dumped.
Yeah. And then one of the guys asked Sam to talk him through the proposal.
Right, can you talk us through it?
Amazing moment.
And we chatted. I told her how I'm going to care for her and give her the best life, all that sort of stuff.
Lolly-lolly-da.
And then he pantomimes how he went down on one knee and put his hand on the glass. And like, Benaiah's looking over at him. He's like, what is happening to my life right now? And he tells the guys that she said, yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. And we burst out crying. He knows we're all going to see this eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of that happened.
It's all very strange. I also want to say this has been in another season, but I love the way all the men in this season support each, yes, other. They are really normalizing affectionate male friendships.
Yeah. There have been a few good male friendships. But
they're,
but yeah,
really like the secure masculinity, mm-hmm, with this group. It's sort of like what we were saying. Like they all like journal and meditate. Yeah. They're very precious.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sweet to see. And in this moment, I was like, they weren't even bro hugging.
Yeah.
They were like actually like, yeah, hugging. I was like, I love this. I love this display of men being emotional.
Yeah, they're mature. And then Sam asks Benjamin Button if he's okay. And Benjamin Button's like, yeah, I'm at peace with it. I'm fine. And Sam says, I wouldn't want to be up against anyone else. Like, this is the fucking Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, bro. Go away.
It's so creepy.
So now we're in the Tunnel of Love. Palette cleanser with Kat and Freddie.
Freddie.
He is wearing a gorgeous 3-piece suit.
God, that fabric was doing great. Uh-huh. That fabric was doing great.
It sure was. And we get all the normal stuff. I'm nervous. Is she going to like me? Is he going to like me? Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
She's going to be fucking gagged. I mean, that door is going to open and she's going to be like, you know, the wolf when his jaw hits the
awooga.
Yeah, yeah. He says he wishes his mom and brother were there to support him. So the door is open. And what does Kat do?
Hyperventilates.
She starts crying. And then she dies. It was really sad. He's like, oh my God, it's you. It's you. I can't believe it. It's you. They're both fucking gagged over how gorgeous they are. She's got snot running all over her face and it doesn't matter. They're kissing.
Girl, pack it the fuck in. I'm an emotional person,
yeah,
and I am telling you, yeah, to Kamala the fuck down.
She needs some Xanax. He's blown away. He's punching. He gets down on one knee. Will you make me the happiest guy in the world? She can't get the fucking words out because she's hyperventilating. And again, he's like, really? Will you? You will?
You're going to marry me?
Honestly, this? Have you seen this?
Freddie?
Have you seen these?
What?
Did you see that?
These old things.
This?
What?
I don't know.
I just got these at the chip shop.
He says she's better than he could ever have imagined. She's stunning. And she says he lived up to her expectations and more. She's crying again. I wrote, Jesus Christ, he is fucking gorgeous.
I want to put him in a glass case and charge money to see him.
I want to fold him up like origami and put him right in this pussy.
And I want to take him out and I want to unfold him.
Yeah.
And then I want to nail him to my bed.
Yeah. And hump him until it disintegrates.
Yeah. And then just some misery shit.
Listen, I would hump that bicep.
You don't even have to do anything. Just let me hump your bicep.
Maybe flex a little bit. It's it. I'll just rub on it for a while. You'll know when I'm done.
I'll take care of myself. I know how to do it. Is Amber still here? I think she logged off.
No, she's like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Back in the female quarters, Demi says that for marriage, she wants all the connections to align. What the fuck does that mean? She wants a fairy tale ending. Natasha says with Tom, she can't explain it, but it's easy and flowing and comfortable and safe. And she visualizes a future with him. And in confessionals, she says Tom makes her feel special. And I said, this is so mean because we know what's about to happen.
And they go in and Tom is really awkward.
Yeah.
And he says, I need to be honest with you.
Yeah. She says that he's everything she's been looking for in someone. And he goes,
yeah. It's all a car crash.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
I am exhausted from imitating Kath.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine actually being her.
No.
I'm calling out sick tomorrow. How many sick days do we get at Grab Bag? Because I'm going to use one tomorrow.
We have unlimited sick days.
Great. I think I used all mine up in March when I had a mental breakdown. I think I used them all up.
We have forced sick days. We're like, no. You're taking a sick day.
Yeah.
I hope she gets a bowl of ice cream and like gets to watch Old Yeller or something and just get it out.
She was like, everything was great at Grab Bag. Then one night we jumped the shark. And that was it. Well, that is it for episode 3. And if you are like Daisy, you don't keep promises and you have moved on. I fucking love this season.
I love it too. I do love recording in the evening because we are very punche.
We're very punche. We can do it.
My favorite was when you texted me on Monday, just a reminder, I have a live show tomorrow. I was like, reminder?
I told you like over a month ago. No. I absolutely told you a month ago. And I said, I don't know what the schedule is going to be. And I don't know if I'm going to stay the night. I absolutely said that. But then I said, it's my fault because I didn't circle back. I did say that. Check the text. I said, I said it, but I didn't circle back. Check the text. Check the text.
What am I supposed to look for?
Name them. What did I say? I said, as a reminder, I didn't circle back.
Yeah, you said I didn't circle back, but you didn't say anything to begin with.
Daisy Elizabeth, I absolutely told you like a month ago. I was like, oh, fuck, I have that live show, but I didn't know if I was going to stay in DC or not.
If you find that, I'll give you $20.
We said it right here. It's probably record. Literally, I have notes from imitating Kath.
Listen, tune into our other podcasts. I have two other podcasts. Strange and Unexplained drops every day.
Every day.
Every Thursday on the main feed, Strange and Unexplained with Daisy Egan, or my advice podcast, Dear Daisy, on Grab Bag Collab. Or you can listen. Ellen has some other podcasts, I think. I don't know. I've never heard them.
I don't listen either. You know what? Subscribe to I Think Not. You don't even have to listen. I don't care.
No.
Just subscribe.
Yeah.
Because we keep getting into trouble about stuff. I don't know. So please just subscribe. Just go subscribe.
Subscribe. Give a 5-star.
You might think it's funny. And if you don't, send me a DM. Don't write a review about it.
I'm writing a review.
And Rabia and I have moved to a paywall version. So we are giving our episodes on Patreon $1 a month.
What?
Buys you 4 episodes.
What a
and
deal.
We have a free episode on our Patreon explaining all the drama we have all been through. Why do we do this?
Girl, nobody knows.
It's crazy. The shit we have been through. Also follow us on socials. Daisy Egan does stuff. She talks about naps. And I am Ellen Marsh, Ellen with a Y. Follow us on Grab Bag. Please support us. It actually is very free to support us. Just follow us, engage with our content. And you know what? If Freddie, you want us to rub up on your bicep, we will be there.
Listen, Freddie, you're a big man. Kat might not be able to handle all of it. So if you need some backup, we're here. That's all we're saying.
And until next time, I love you, Daisy.
Oh, Ellen, wait. Shut the fuck up.
Yes. I will. Do you know why? Because Freddie's chained to my bed. So I will shut the fuck up tonight. Thanks. Bye.